You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Julie Broadway, president of the American Horse Council.
And I'm Emily Stearns, health, welfare, and regulatory affair liaison for the American Horse Council.
And you are listening to the special monthly American Horse Council episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 2026. So happy New Year, Horse World!
It's time to hear from the American Horse Council in this monthly episode of Horses in the Morning.
So today we are focusing on the subject of New Year's resolutions. So Emily, I decided I better Google and figure out how this whole idea got started. And I was surprised to learn that this goes all the way back over 4,000 years to the ancient Babylonians, who were considered the first ones to make pledges at a New Year's celebration. Back then, they were generally making promises to the gods for, food and good health or whatever. But fast forward to 2026, and instead of making promises to the gods, most people are making resolutions only to themselves and focusing mostly on self-improvement, which may explain why some resolutions are so hard to follow through on. But if you don't like the phrase resolutions, I recently read a great article that said, go into the new year with intention. So resolutions or intention, either way. But I will add, according to the recent research, while about 45% of Americans say they usually make a New Year's resolution, only 8% are successful in achieving their goal. That's a pretty dismal record, but it probably won't stop people from making a New Year's resolution come January 2026. After all, we've had 4,000 plus years of practice.
Yes. Well, maybe I only had 40 years of practice, but here we go.
Fair enough.
So, now, some years I make a resolution and some years I don't. Last year, I told myself that any day I don't ride one of the ponies or ski that I needed to go to the gym. And I did a pretty good job sticking to it. And I'm thinking about doing the same thing this year because it's pretty much the same thing happening around here. Though with little baby, I may have to adjust my expectations a little bit. So, Julie, do you have a resolution in mind?
I don't for this year. Normally, I make a resolution and I don't say it out loud. I write it down and seal it in an envelope. And then months down the road, I open it up and see how I'm doing, although I know what the resolution is in my head. But this year, I'm really scratching my head a little bit, Emily. I don't know what it's going to be. It'll come to me before I get to December 31st, I'm sure.
I know, and I might need to come up with a little baby resolution, too. Maybe more naps, I think, on her end would be much appreciated. But our guests today are here to chat all about the New Year's resolutions. New Year, new you. So first, before we get to them, a word from our sponsor.
So, folks, today's episode is brought to you by the American Horse Council Board of Trustees, the American Horse Council Committees, and the American Horse Council staff. As we embark on a new year, we wanted to take a little time to express our thanks and our heartfelt appreciation for your support of the work we do every day for the horse and the horse industry. I bet you didn't know this, but AHC reaches over 1 million horse owners and has a network of over 100 volunteers who give so generously of their time and their talents to help us research and explore issues and come to informed decisions to help benefit everybody in the equine community. We have 6 standing committees and about 10 task forces or working groups that are currently working on a variety of topics. So if you want to learn more and you want to get involved, drop us an email at info@horsecouncil.org.
Our guest panel today includes two people well known to the Horse Radio Network community, Karen Chatton with the Endurance Radio and Megan Brady with Galloping Getaways. So welcome, ladies. And I'm going to ask you to take a couple seconds to introduce you, yourself, and feel free to introduce your podcast as well. So Karen, let's start with you.
Hey, well, I have been the co-host of the Endurance Ride podcast for 13 years, maybe going on 14 years now. And that's been a lot of fun for me. I'm an endurance rider. I've been riding endurance since the early 90s. I've got close to 40,000 miles. And I'm bringing along a kind of a new horse. It's going to be his fourth ride season this year for 2026. I'm really excited about that.
Wow. 40,000 miles. That's so far.
I don't think I've got a car with 40,000 miles on it. Oh, my gosh.
Megan, welcome to the show. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you for having me. So, yeah, I'm an equine bodywork practitioner, and I also mentor equine professionals and am the founder of the Equestrian Travel Association. And as you know, I host Galloping Getaways, which we highlight equestrian travel experiences from around the world that are ethical and have horse welfare at the top of their standards.
Well, that is awesome. So let's kick this interview off with a couple of questions. So it occurs to Emily and I that self-reflection is often suggested as one of the best ways to get started on making a New Year's resolution. And I'm just curious, what does the New Year symbolize for you guys? What is it all about in your life? Karen?
Well, it's like turning a new page or another chapter for my horse and myself. Like I just mentioned, 2026 is going to be Joby's fourth ride season. He just passed 1,000 miles of competition with a perfect completion record. So we're really just looking forward to continuing our progress. We've had some difficulty with health issues for me and for him. So we've come a long way already. And now I'm at the point where we're just going to enjoy it. We're really looking forward to a new ride season and going to new competitions. Now I feel safe and comfortable on him. I'm able to ride pain-free and everything is coming together for us. So I'm just really excited for the new year.
So when you say making progress in terms of setting resolution, are you planning on measuring that or just saying, okay, anything more than where we're at today counts as progress?
Well, this coming ride season, I hope to actually reach the 40,000 mile point. I'm only a few rides short of that. So that's one of my goals for me. For Jovi, I just want to be able to keep doing, you know, bringing him along to his potential. Like the last ride I just did on him, we did 100 miles in 2 days. And on the second day, he got his very first place. So he's become quite an athlete. He's figured out his job. He takes care of me. So, you know, my goals for him, it's always about longevity and putting his health and well-being first, and also still competing and hopefully going to some new rides and just having some new adventures together and always prioritizing his health and well-being.
That's awesome. So I just have to ask, because I'm curious, what breed is he?
An Arabian, of course.
Of course.
And I call him my rock star because he is named after a rock star. His name is Jovi.
Holy Bon Jovi. It shouldn't have taken me that long to get that. Yeah.
That's cool. Megan, tell us what the new year symbolizes for you.
I think for me, it's really about a check-in more than a reset. You know, our horses don't start over on January 1st. And so I don't consider that I start over on January 1st. So it's, for me, it's more of a moment to like pause and take inventory and notice what's working and what's not working. And it's more about getting in alignment and less about reinventing myself and just more about refining what already exists and what works and doesn't work, both professionally and personally and with my horses.
Awesome. Wow. I love the way you phrased that, you know? I have to put that in the back of my brain because that's a really nice
I know word. I had that same thought. So Megan, then do you set a resolution every year, or do you just kind of see how it feels that year?
Yeah. So I really don't do like your traditional resolutions anymore. I used to set very like outcome based goals, like, you know, more clients or more travel or, you know, get better fitness. But over the years, I just learned that, like we talked about earlier, about, you know, it's really hard to maintain that sometimes. And you end up just letting yourself down when you put like that much pressure on yourself. So I've learned that they'll only work if the structure and energy behind them is aligned with what your goals, with what you are doing. Mm-hmm. And so I really don't make your traditional like resolutions. I more make on how I'm going to shift and get more in alignment with what I'm feeling at that time in my life. So it might be that I focus on like physical health or emotional or spiritual well-being or something with my horses, but it's not very outcome driven, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. Karen, what about you?
Well, I kind of, you know, I also have changed how I go about, you know, the new year and setting resolutions. Now I'm more of a, let's just see how the next ride goes before I make plans past that, because it all comes down to the horse. You know, if he has a good ride and everything goes well, then we will plan the next one and so on. But I, you know, when I was younger, I would, you know, plan ahead for months to say, go do Tavis, which is a well-known 100-mile ride. And you put a lot of pressure on yourself doing that. And so I find it's, you know, better for me and the horse if we just go from one event, see how that goes, and then make our, you know, the next plan for the next event.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that, because there has been a point in my life where I have set a target of I want to achieve something by a particular age or a particular year. And when those, when you don't make those milestones, boy, you're really hard on yourself. So I totally get where you're coming
from.
Yeah,
and I find like doing that too really doesn't account for like life happening, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many things you can't control in terms of that.
Yeah. Says the woman who just had a new baby. So I think she's really gotten the message from the gods that life happens. Emily, what do you think is the trick to making a resolution stick? Is there a formula?
Oh, wow. I didn't know I was supposed to be solving this problem for everybody today. I would say, I mean, you talked a little bit just now about setting outcome-based goals. I think it is good to have some sort of measurable outcome, right? So I don't think that has to be anything big or huge. And I think whatever you do decide on has to have some leeway, again, for life happening. So like with mine, you know, I wanted to be more active and making sure I was reaching my personal goals on being active. But just having a New Year's resolution of saying I want to be more active isn't something measurable. And so it's kind of ambiguous on if I was going to feel like I hit that outcome or not. So my goal of saying whenever I don't ride or ski, I have to go to the gym, that ultimately gets me more active. It gives me a clear like binary yes or no, something didn't happen, and makes it kind of easier for me to track if I'm making progress. But I also think like, you know, being more active is a better goal than saying I want to lose 50 pounds, because I feel like that puts a lot of personal pressure. I think something that can kind of evolve as you go and kind of figure out how your year is going is probably a pretty good way to keep sticking to it.
Got it. Megan, what do you think? Is there a trick to it?
I think the key is just to be in alignment with support. Like, you know, resolutions fall apart because the goal isn't supported by systems that you have in your life or boundaries or even your actual reality of what is possible. And so I think when you have a goal that fits you know, your body, your, the schedule, the season of the life that you're in, it has a chance to last. But I think we kind of set ourselves up for failure sometimes because we make these really big, lofty resolutions. And like Emily was just saying, like, instead of saying I want to lose 50 pounds this year, say I want to become more active. And that is just way more achievable. And it fits into the reality of life, right?
And yeah. I think doing things that have a range of success, like what success yes. can look Correct. Like is yeah. helpful too. Yeah.
What about you, Karen? Do you think there's any particular formula?
Well, I like to kind of get going on creating a bunch of like tiny habits that you can actually do so that you can do something even on the bad weather days or when life intervenes. You know, I kind of try to keep track of stuff like on a calendar in the barn, or I have index cards. So I try to document stuff so that I have an accounting for myself, and I give myself grace to adjust it as we go, because life does happen and you need to be able to adjust and change. And it's not the end of the world. You know, the sun is going to come up tomorrow. And if we miss today for whatever the reason was with our conditioning plan or, you know, just some basic, you know, horse maintenance type of stuff, you know what? You get to it tomorrow, and it's not the end of the world. We just keep going, and you know, our goals can change and be adjusted.
Yeah. I've often had a friend tell me, give yourself some grace. That's the important thing here.
Yeah. And I think to set your goal to be something you like doing, like don't make it be like, okay, you know, I want to lose 50 pounds. We'll go back to that one. I think a lot of people set weight loss or body improvement as part of a resolution. That's not like a very fun resolution to have. So like I make mine skiing or riding or going to the gym. Like those are all things I like doing. So it makes it easier to achieve that resolution and kind of make progress towards my goal of being more active if I kind of put it in context of things I like doing. Julie, I'm going to put you on the spot now in terms of this one. If you could make a resolution for someone else, say your best friend, what would it be?
Mm. Oh, wow. Well, so I have two best friends in my life, my husband and a girlfriend that's a writing friend. And unfortunately, they both suffer from tardiness. So if I could make one resolution, it would be to try to find a way to get them to get to things on time. not sure how that would work, that I can make a resolution for somebody else and influence the outcome there, Emily. But
in light of Megan, you know, talking about support, how could you support them in their resolution in that? You know, that is something to think about.
Yes. My trick with my husband is to always tell him that we need to be somewhere 15 minutes before we actually have to be there.
Does that work? My husband does the same thing to me.
I will say
I just caught on.
No, it does not work. It does not work, but I try.
Right. Right.
All right, Megan, what about you? If you could make a resolution for someone else.
I think I'd want them to trust themselves more. I think most of us, we have the answers that we already have the answers. We just talk ourselves out of them. And I'd want them to be committed to honoring themselves and honoring one thing consistently instead of constantly pushing past their limits. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Karen, what about you?
Pretty similar to you guys' answers, but I think I would nudge my friends to resolve to put their horses' needs first, even when it's inconvenient, like if they have to skip a ride. Like I just had to skip a ride last month because we had that EHV outbreak and I just didn't want to risk my horse. And so, yes, that interfered with my goals and my plans. I had my health certificates done and everything. So it was inconvenient for me. And I know my friends put themselves into those same categories where they set a goal and they're so focused on achieving them that sometimes that gets the better of them. So I would say always put your horse's needs first, even when it is inconvenient for you.
I love that. I'm
going to go further, and I'm going to put a resolution out there for all our horse people out there listening, is to remember why you're doing this. And I think that goes with part of Karen's thing too. Like, remember why we're with the horses. And sometimes I think that makes it okay if you have to cancel that. You know, going back to that feeling of when you were sitting on the pony when you were five, let's all resolve to remember that feeling for the next year.
Hey, is there a trend that you're seeing in the resolution space, for lack of a better word, that you really like or you think is really not working? Emily?
Well, with the little baby, I haven't had a lot of time to be following a lot of trends. So I don't know how up to speed on things I am. I would say I don't love the weight loss resolutions in general, because I think it encourages people to be really hard on themselves and makes failure too easy, even if you are making progress in something. And I think that goes for a lot of resolutions. So yeah, that's going to be mine for the one I can't stand. For the one I love, honestly, I liked, this isn't a trend, but I really like what Megan said earlier about kind of being true to yourself and working towards that. Being kinder to yourself. I think we could all work on that a little bit.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Karen, is there anything you're seeing out there that you'd like?
I would also agree about the weight loss thing. I think that puts a lot of pressure on ourselves. So also, again, give yourself some grace there. But also, I think the things that I see that I like on social media is people seem to be, there's a lot of focus on the relationships and the bonds that they're building with their animals, their horses and their other equines and other animals. And so I think that's something that everybody benefits from, you know, just not putting too much pressure on yourself. Like, you know, we have a new ride season and endurance. And so don't just focus on going out and being super competitive. You know, pushing too hard too early is the fastest way to shorten your horse's career. So just, you know, focus on the longevity and welfare type of goals are the things that I like, and building the bond and the relationship with your horse.
Awesome. Megan, you want to contribute anything?
Sure. I think that I'm seeing a lot of people move away from like the hustle based resolutions. And I think that that's great. And a thing that I struggle with is the fix yourself mindset. Like, we have to fix ourselves in January. We have to change all these things. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on us. Like Emily was saying, like, there's that pressure of weight loss, or, you know, instead of just saying become more active. And I think it creates resistance instead of like alignment with who you are. And you can really, like, I use the horses as analogies all the time, because they remind us of who we are and where we are in alignment. And, you know, they remind us every day that force never leads to change. You can't force them to change. You're just asking, and you're putting in the work every day and being committed. And I think we can take great lessons from our horses. And so I think that's what it's about. And I think that's a trend that we're starting to see more and more of.
So in that vein, Megan, mm-hmm. what's one thing you're proud of accomplishing in the last year that wasn't part of a resolution?
Yeah, something that I'm proud of is I simplified this year a lot. It wasn't a plan. I just really started listening more closely to myself and what was authentic for me and what felt aligned and sustainable. I think in previous years, I, you know, hustled a lot and I was constantly busy and I felt really drained and burnt out. And I tried to create space this year and simplify my life. And because of that, it gave me space to write and publish a book and start on other passion projects that I have. And so it's just led for better work and better energy. And I think more impact both with my animals and my horses and my body work practice and with everything, actually. It just became more intentional.
That's really great. Karen, what about you?
Well, 2025 for me was all about fixing myself. I put myself into physical therapy. I had a lot of nerve pain in my feet. And so writing was becoming extremely painful. And I would be, you know, lame for days afterwards, not just during a ride, but later, even on training rides, I was getting to where I couldn't go for more than an hour or two, and I'd be in excruciating pain. So I started going to physical therapy, doing all the work, all the exercising, following through, you know, basically putting myself first, because let's all be honest, if that was our horse experiencing that, they would be at the vet. We would be doing everything possible we could to fix them. So I would say 2025 was all about trying to accomplish fixing myself. And that's part of why I'm also so excited for 2026, because now I'm able to ride, you know, multiple days of endurance and not be, I mean, there's still some pain, but it's bearable. So I'm, you know, I mean, you know, when you're 60 years old and you're riding 50 miles, you're going to feel something, but it, at least it's not.
I feel like I have to congratulate you on so many terrible aspects. Well, all right. Julie, I'm going to stick you with this one. So same deal. What's something you accomplished in the last year that wasn't part of a resolution?
Ooh, wow. Emily, let me think about that. So I'm going to do a work-related thing. So at the American Horse Council, with the change in administration and a lot of challenges in Congress, like the government shutdown and all that kind of thing, one of the things we accomplished that I was really, really proud of is our ability to be flexible and nimble and respond to a lot of shakeup that was coming at the industry, whether that was the disease outbreaks, whether that was trade and tariff, which we heard a lot about. We've had a lot of phone calls of people who were very concerned about their workforce and about visa opportunities or immigration raids, those kinds of things. So I think it wasn't intentional when we started 2025. We never foresaw some of the things that came at us, but we did a really good job of making it all come together, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
The last question before we wrap up is, if you had to sum up your intentions or your resolution, whichever word you'd like, into a single word for 2026, what would that be, Karen?
Well, it's me. And as you guys know, the ones that have listened to my show a long time, I'm all about longevity. So that would be my word, because everything I do revolves around keeping my horses sound, happy, and strong and competing year after year. So my ultimate long-term goal for Jovi is to make decade team. So this is going to be our fourth year. So I've got a long-term goal for him. So longevity would be my word.
Awesome. That's great. How about you, Megan?
Mine would be alignment. Yeah, I think doing what fits. So in my work, in my body, in my values. So they're all moving in the same direction. Yeah, without any force and just having flow. Yeah.
Excellent. Emily, you got one?
I was thinking momentum, that in terms of relating to a lot of different things, especially getting out into the barn more. It's amazing. I mean, everybody with their horses at home, I know, says this, that it's amazing how little time you spend with your horses when they're outside of feeding. So building more momentum, I think, would feel really good for a lot of different goals.
Well, I think my word would be balance. And the reason I say that is because I love my job and it's easy for me to go down a rabbit hole, even when I'm supposed to be on vacation. So really want to work hard to try to make certain I give myself some space and some time to decompress and re-energize and those kinds of things so I can come back stronger. And when it's time to come back to work. So balance is my word.
So you can tell Tony that one so he can keep you honest in it.
Oh, yeah. So, ladies, we are so appreciative of your time today. Thank you for joining us. And we wish you the best in the new year. And I hope 2026 is everything you hope for it to be. So our legislative and regulatory segment for today's episode is brought to you by the American Horse Council Foundation. Did you know that the AHC Foundation does remarkable work, including research, charitable endeavors, and scholarships? The foundation is famous for its extensive research on the economic impact of the horse industry, equine welfare, and aftercare. We have a Grant Makers Summit and a variety of other topics, and our charitable endeavors include outreach to horse owners through the United Horse Coalition and A Home for Every Horse, and we offer 4 annual young professional scholarships to attend our conference in Washington, D.C. to expand their knowledge and understanding of the industry and hopefully help them network with industry leaders so we can include them more into our industry. If you want to learn more about the AHC Foundation, again, contact us at info@horsecouncil.org.
For today's legislative and regulatory update, we're talking about the hottest of hot topics, disease outbreaks, and where to go for information.
As we all pause to think of a great New Year's resolution, let's put better biosecurity at the top of our priority list.
Yes, please, folks. It would be so easy to harp on the latest EHV1 outbreak as an obvious motivator to be more vigilant. But the truth is, at any point in time, the horse industry is at risk for many, many different kinds of outbreaks. EHV1 is the most obvious, being top of our mind. But we also fairly commonly have vesicular stomatitis in the Southwest, along with tick-borne diseases, breeding diseases, and other mosquito-borne diseases to always be thinking about.
Yeah, and it gets overwhelming fast. I mean, luckily, we have several great resources, and one in particular we want to mention today that you pay for through your federal tax dollars, and that's our friends over at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, particularly Veterinary Services and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services, known as APHIS.
And historically, USDA APHIS receives funds through appropriations for different species health surveillance and programming. And in previous years, equine has shared this program funding with cervids, which are sheep and deer. And up until now, we were never able to get an accurate report of how much of these funds were designated for horse health surveillance and well-being.
Well, and I wish that everybody could see Emily and I doing our little happy dance, because we are so excited that the industry has spent the last few years asking and asking and asking that the pool of funds for equines and cervids be split apart. So horses have their own specific line item. And in 2026, we've been told that's going to happen. And the equine industry is going to get $2.45 million. And we're so excited about that. And we don't have all the details yet, but this will go a long way in helping bolster federal disease surveillance.
Yes, yes, yes. And now, so that's USDA APHIS. It's just one aspect of how we help protect what we call the national herd. So all of our horses. We also have state health officials, and state health officials are in charge of identifying and reporting reportable diseases to the appropriate authorities. So these diseases are diseases that are required to be reported to the federal authorities, aka USDA APHIS, and also to their respective state disease response teams. So for some states, that's the State Department of Agriculture. And for other states, it might be a livestock or an infectious disease commission.
So, Emily, I know a lot of people are confused by the phrase, quote, reportable disease. What is a reportable disease, and how do you decide which ones are reportable?
Great question. So a reportable disease is a disease listed on the USDA APHIS, or some states have their own list of diseases that must be reported to the appropriate authorities if identified by a veterinarian or by a state vet lab.
And at the federal level, the list of reportable equine diseases includes, but is not limited to, African horse sickness, contagious equine metritis, Dorine, equine influenza, equine infectious anemia, equine pyroplasmosis, equine viral arteritis, equine encephalitis. I can never pronounce that one right. It's hard. It just means all the E's, triple E, VEE, and Western EE, as well as vesicular stomatitis. There's also the neurologic version of EHV, so EHM. EHV is considered monitored, but is not a reported disease. That's a little different variation. We don't need to get to the specifics, but it does mean they're still very important and that if they're diagnosed, the federal authorities need to know about it. But again, you can view the full list of all reportable diseases at aphis.usda.gov. So that's aphis.usda.gov.
So folks, we've covered the state and federal level disease reporting, but where can you go to see what's going on in your immediate area? And we want to encourage you to go to the Equine Disease Communication Center, known as the EDCC, and you can find there exactly everything that has been reported, and you can get it down to, I think, the county level, Emily.
Yes. Yeah. For some diseases, it is at the county level. So now what typically happens, the way the EDCC works, is that veterinarians, state vet labs, and most state animal health officials submit any reportable diseases identified to USDA APHIS and the EDCC. The EDCC waits for confirmation of vet lab testing before posting any disease reports to the website. So as an example, you know, in the latest EHV outbreak, that caused a bit of contention, right?
Absolutely. And what is really key, folks, is that what some people got confused about was what they were reading in social media during the EHV outbreak. There was talk of the EDCC being too slow to report EHV outbreaks, but in reality, there are a couple of key things to remember. One, EDCC only reports confirmed cases, and confirmed cases take time in a lab for testing to be completed. And number two, the EDCC links cases based on strains when confirming an outbreak. So if one horse tested positive for EHV, say in Washington State, and one horse tested positive for EHV, say in Florida, the EDCC waits for confirmation from the vet labs that they are the same strain of virus, aka the same DNA family, before saying they are part of a larger outbreak.
And so this means that in the midst of an urgent situation like the outbreak in November, it's very easy to forget that we have typically pretty routine small outbreaks of EHV. So that's why it's so critical for the EDCC to wait for the strains to be identified before reporting. If that sick horse in Washington State and the sick horse in Florida have two separate strains of EHV1, that means we have two separate outbreaks happening. And that requires separate contact tracing, so who those horses have been in contact with, to be completed so all owners can be appropriately notified.
So this is our friendly reminder that in the midst of an outbreak, don't rely on social media for your information or for reporting. We saw things like, oh, it's in every state, or thousands of horses will die. And hysterics do not help prepare. Only the facts are useful.
Exactly. And I think this is especially apparent in light of the national finals rodeo that was held. And they had a very successful competition. They adhered to very strict biosecurity protocols. And knock on wood, as of right now, everyone has gone home healthy and happy. So if and when the next outbreak happens, but it won't, because you all are going to have your New Year's resolution to practice your very best biosecurity. You're not going to share nose rags at horse shows. You're not going to share water buckets. You're going to wipe down all your stuff when you get home. You're not going to let your horses kiss each other. But if it does happen again, and inevitably it will, go to the EDCC website or contact your state animal health official. We'll put links to how to find your state animal health official in the show notes, or the USDA APHIS websites for accurate updates. Keyword, accurate updates. And when in doubt, hunker down and stay home until you have the correct information.
So we'll post all about this in the show notes so you'll have all these resources. But also don't be afraid to reach out to us at the American Horse Council. Again, info@horsecouncil.org for more information. We'll be happy to help direct you to the right place and the right people to get the answers that you need. So thank you for joining us today. We'll provide more numbers and links again in our show notes. We invite you to support our beloved industry and join the American Horse Council. You can earn a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, also to some magazine partners that we have, which shares the latest in all legislative happenings, federal and state, as well as information that we feel horse owners like you need to know.
Follow the American Horse Council on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, formerly Twitter, and LinkedIn. And you can also subscribe to this podcast RSS feed. And you can subscribe to Horses in the Morning on any podcast player and find all the shows, including ours, on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
And as we always like to say, we are #HereForHorses and Happy New Year, everyone.